Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Welcome into Coffee Break this morning. I do appreciate you tuning in. I am Troy Shockley, and it's beautiful out there right now. But if we can believe the weathermen, enjoy it now because things are going to change this afternoon. Hail, rain, all sorts of stuff on the way. But this morning, like I said, it's nice. And we get to chat with Helena Public School Superintendent Tyler Ream. Tyler, I feel like we've gotten you on a pretty heavy rotation here lately. So I sure appreciate you sort of being willing to always come on and chat.
It's been good. I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks for having me.
Well, how are you faring? I mean, we've been through the longest 9 months you've ever had as a superintendent over the last 2 months or so.
It's funny. It's not funny. I shouldn't say I should rethink that word,
not
right?
Funny, but there's these
not funny, haha, but there's these pictures in the entryway of the May Butler Admin Center. And strangely enough, it's every superintendent dating back to the beginning of the school district. And two of the pictures, myself and the very first gentleman in the picture, both had to deal with pandemics. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, you think, well, clearly I must be the only one. Well, no, I'm actually one of two.
It's been a while.
And it has been a while. It's been 100 years. You're right.
Did he leave any notes or anything for you to work off of?
I am looking. We have a lot of paperwork in this office, so I haven't found them yet, but I'm sure there's some nuggets in there somewhere.
I think there's an interesting paper there waiting for you to write it.
It would be. It would be. It would be an interesting dinner conversation.
Well, I'd love for you to kind of talk about things a bit, if possible. I know it's hard, but from a parent's perspective first. I mean, you obviously have multiple hats, but we get to talk with a superintendent who also has kids in the school system. So I'd be interested to hear your feedback from an experienced eye of just kind of how that's going and how your kids are doing.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that question. My wife and I have two elementary student boys, right? So one is in second grade, one is in fourth grade. While I can't by any means fully understand what every family is going through, I definitely do understand the challenge of, trying to get your work done and trying to do, kind of the day-to-day responsibilities, but also running a family and assisting with remote learning. And, both of them have very different learning styles. One of them is a little more independent than the other. It was almost like every single time I was going to get on the phone or get into a meeting or something like that, I could guarantee you one of them was going to be standing right there saying, I get it. It adds certainly a challenge to, kind of getting done what you need to on a day-to-day basis, but also taking care of really what is our primary responsibility in life is raising our families and doing the best that we absolutely can. So that's been an interesting learning process. I would have thought as a former fourth and fifth grade teacher that clearly maybe I had like a leg up and I was going to be able to rock this, and that was certainly not the case by any means. So my class of two, we struggled from time to time, but we're getting there.
What's been the toughest part? Is it just finding that balance of how do I do what I need to do as an employee, and then how do I do what I need to do as a dad? I mean, is it just finding that balance?
I think it's finding that balance. It's finding the time, right, to actually sit down and explain something when there are other needs going on. And then there's the, and maybe I'm the only one, but I don't think I am. There's like the emotional side of it too, of, clearly having more to do in a given minute that you have the capability of doing and trying to not take that out on my two children, right?
So. Right. Well, how about the other side of that coin though? I mean, is there something that sort of stuck out as a win?
For me, I don't know if it's a win. I think it reconfirms so much of what we, I think, intuitively know about education. Education is a human-to-human thing. It is best done through really strong relationships. And, over the last, 10, 20 years, there's been this rise of online learning. And really this promise that, you know, you could learn at your own pace and you just log in and you go through these modules and you take some tests and you move on. And as that emerged in education, there was the research that came along with it that said, hold on here, that doesn't work for everybody. In fact, it only works for a small subset of students. And I think that's what I think that's been reconfirmed throughout this, is that this idea that, you know, you could continue to learn at, you know, a high level. We're absolutely doing our best, and I think I'm exceptionally proud of our educators and our entire team here in the Helena Public Schools. But it's not the same, right? It's not the same as being in a classroom and being able to read the body language and having that relationship and everybody working together. And to me, it's reconfirmed that education, real personalized education, requires really good relationships.
Yeah. Helena Public School Superintendent Tyler Rehm is our guest this morning. And my guess is that it also shows just kind of how important it is to have parents involved in the educational process. I mean, obviously, this is a different scenario, but their role is, our role is huge.
Totally. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it is varied by, you know, basically age, grade level, et cetera, background experience. But parents have always been, you know, and there's that saying, right? Or maybe it's a quote, and I just don't know who said it first, but a parent is the first and best teacher, right? And so we think about how we learn across the spectrum of our entire lives, you know, from learning how to eat, to walk, to ride a bike, to, you know, all of these things that we learn in life. And there's a parent or a guardian or a significant adult in our life who's right there leading that learning. And this has taken that maybe to a different level. But I'm certainly tremendously thankful for all that our parents do in a day-to-day basis to accompany and partner in the learning, and really the stress and added work that has gone with this closing and how they've had to be involved in order to make this work. I wish that there was another way. Mm-hmm. I really do. I wish, you know, in some ways I feel a bit like a failure to not have had this kind of unbelievable plan where, I don't know, holograms could exist in your house and still teach your children. I mean, I wish we were there. We're not. We're not in education, you know, across the nation or across the world. But I think it has also reconfirmed the value of parents and significant adults being involved in the day-to-day learning of our children.
I mean, we've got holographic concerts now. I mean, holographic education, that might be the next on the list.
If you and I can develop it, we might have a real market.
So we just need a guy now. We've got the idea. We just need we need somebody out there. So if you're listening, let's give me a call. We got to take a break in here in a few minutes. But if Tyler, if you slide into your superintendent role, I mean, I guess same idea. What are the struggles? What are the wins that you're seeing leading Helena's educators?
Yeah. So I think obviously, you know, the win is just how quickly our community and our district were able to pivot and move forward with a plan to do something that you typically have years of preparation work to go into, and our educators had 3 days to figure it out, and they did a terrific job. And I think, you know, that's 2 months ago now, so sometimes it's you know, maybe time passes and you forget about all of the work that went in just to those first few days to get this thing launched. And to go back to, you know, our two primary objectives for this were one, to connect with our students, right? And not even in an academic sense, but in a social emotional sense. And that was really objective number one throughout. And our teachers did a fantastic job of just, you know, having those class meetings, those individual conversations, replacing those phone calls when they could sense something wasn't quite right, or, you know, really trying to work from afar to, again, stay connected as best we could. And then second was the new learning piece, which is really hard in an online setting. It's one thing to do these kind of online lessons that reconfirm what you've already learned. We've all done, you know, if you think back to like Math Blaster and stuff like that, where we're working through our multiplication tables.
I remember
a totally
that.
Different thing. Yeah, I remember Math Blaster. I wasn't that good at it. But there's a totally different thing when we're talking about new learning or the learning of new concepts, and that's a really difficult thing to pull off in an online environment.
Helena Public School Superintendent Tyler Rehm is our guest this morning, and I mean, obviously, this is just not an ideal situation in so many ways, but it is, I think, encouraging to see people working really hard on both sides, multiple sides, because you got the parents, you've got educators, you got students, just understanding limitations and sort of trying to make the best out of a bad situation here. Everybody's really kind of rowing the boat in the same direction here.
For sure, yeah, and simply, we wouldn't be where we are if that didn't happen, and so... again, I can't say thank you enough to everybody that has been a part of that. And, you know, I really failed to mention, we talked about the parent role, we talked about the educator role, but I really failed to mention the resilience of our students, too, because they had to shift, right? I mean, they're at the center of this entire thing, and they had to shift on the fly as well and learn things that maybe they hadn't been taught before around how to access, you know, education online. And they've done a tremendous job in staying resilient and working through this. And I think there's life lessons there, right? I mean, learning can occur in a lot of different ways, and it might not be optimal, and you might have to work on it in a different way. But it can happen, and I think there's a life lesson there.
We're chatting this morning with Helena Public School Superintendent Tyler Rehm, and we've got to take a break at some point. So we're going to do that now before we get chatting and I lose track of time. So we're going to do that, but then we'll come back and have more with Tyler on Coffee Break. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
In today's always-on world, your business demands a simpler approach to network security. At Blackfoot Communications, we deliver state-of-the-art security solutions from the perimeter to endpoint devices and remote data backup for businesses across Montana. Ensure your company's network is online all the time. For more information, visit goblackfoot.com/security.
Welcome back into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for joining us this morning. Helena Public School Superintendent Tyler Rehm is our guest. And we mentioned before we went to the break, the parents, the teachers, the students, and I'm told the custodians probably deserve a shout out because teachers didn't have a chance to clean out rooms. And they came in and they did way more. I mean, they would have had to do more anyway, just with the situation, but then it was just sort of piled on because nobody had a chance to clean out anything. It sounds like they did some yeoman's work.
They did. They really did. And they continue to do yeoman's work. They've been invaluable throughout this. Even before when we first started talking about coronavirus, we started talking about, well, what about cleaning and disinfecting and this product and that product? And so they've been at the center of this. I would say, again, everybody from our custodians, the entire operations team that has maintained our buildings and maintained our grounds throughout all of this, our tech team, we had, I think, maybe, 15 Chromebooks that were checked out on a day-to-day basis or something like that. We went to over 3,000 in the first few weeks. And they continue to problem solve and work with families and how do we get, wireless, your wireless is gone, okay, let's figure this out. So our entire tech team that has worked through this, our academics team that has, created a number of different resources and continue to work with our teachers to say, okay, what do you need next? It really has been a team effort across the board. I shouldn't, forget to mention our paras. Who really work, hand in hand with teachers, but again, in direct close contact with our students each day. And now they're having to rethink their role. And so now they're doing things like, online intervention groups and small reading groups online via Teams and things like that. And so they've had to rethink their entire work as well. So again, it goes across the board to everybody. Also can't forget our partners in Sodexo that continue to feed our students and our families 7 days a week through their work. And then for a student, our transportation team, that spun on a dime and went from working with our students and families to deliver students and bring them home safely every single day to delivering, you know, food and technology to families. And so they've been an invaluable partner as well.
Yeah, an awful lot of smiley faces and gold stars to go around. Pretty impressive.
For sure.
Are you, Tyler, kind of tuned into statewide national networks of educators? I mean, I guess I wonder, how does Helena stack up against the state, against the country in terms of what's being done, how it's being done, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so I think that's a really good question. I just from my career, I started on one coast. I was on the other coast for a while. I ended up in the third coast. I didn't realize that Houston was the third coast, but it is. And so I do connect quite a bit with my colleagues across the nation. And we talk through, you know, the wins and the struggles and the best practices. And I mean, I'm biased, right? So please take my answer as being biased, but I'm really proud of what we've been able to accomplish here in Helena. From an education stake and also from a health standpoint sake and listening to colleagues across the nation and talking about how things are in their communities and then comparing it to how seriously Helena took the coronavirus and that initial stay-at-home order, how people honored that. I'm really proud to live and serve in this community. Not just from an educational standpoint, but just across the board and how well we took care of one another in the midst of this crisis.
Helena Public School Superintendent Tyler Rehm, our guest this morning on Coffee Break. And we're nearing the end of the year now, of course, and that means graduation. I know it's been a big thing, something you spent a lot of time on. Can you explain where we're at right now with that? I know that's it's a fluid situation, but do we have any kind of ideas of anything at this point?
Yeah, we're moving square ahead with our plan that we rolled out. I mean, we really had multiple plans across time. And as we've tried to, in some ways, I wouldn't say just be aware of the current situation, but also predict, right? I mean, it's really around predicting what might be present on June 5th and 6th. And so as, the team has kind of worked on these pieces, we had multiple plans and we knew that we had to coalesce around at least one common direction, basically a primary objective, really by about the beginning of last week. And so we were able to do that to say, hey, we really believe, and our plan shows that we can hit all of the safety precautions and factors and be able to still have a full-size ceremony where we have all 300 of our graduates. And be able to put them on what is essentially a collegiate-sized soccer field in these 10-foot by 10-foot boxes, right? So students will be separated 10 feet on all sides and be able to have two tickets. And I wish we had more, but I'm thankful that we have two tickets per graduate for guests, parents, guardians to be able to watch the ceremony in person and live, and then obviously we're going to stream all of the ceremonies. And so as of right now, we have essentially four graduations that we're working on with Access to Success and PAL taking place on Friday the 5th, and then Helena High School and Capitol High School taking place on Saturday the 6th. And so, I'm hopeful, my fingers are crossed. Again, I think it really depends on the decisions, quite literally, that we're making as a community today as to what the conditions are, come June 6th. And so, again, I'm very hopeful that we'll be able to do that and thankful for all the partners that are helping us pull this off, because our graduates, this class of 2020, yes, graduation will be different than what it has looked like in the past, but I think we're amongst, very small group of students in this nation that are due to graduate this spring that will actually be able to go to a live ceremony. That's just not happening across the nation and across the world. And I believe that we're fortunate to be able to even consider it.
Yeah. Well, and I think a safe assumption that parents are going to be informed, as or if there are any changes, that's sort of an email contact thing. Is that safe?
Yeah, we'll continue to use our, email system. We sent out a message last week informing parents of what the primary plans are as we move towards, there's a number of logistical things that we need to do in terms of, getting tickets out and robes and cords and all of the things that are associated with graduation. So being able to do that, we'll also send out really clear protocols about how to enter. You know, we're asking everybody that is taking part, from graduates to guests to personnel who are there making the graduation run, to wear masks. Everybody has to fill out a screener card. And again, only 2 tickets per. And so it'll take time in order to socially distance and hit all of the precautions that we need. It's going to take time to enter the ceremony. It's going to take time to exit the ceremony. But again, we believe we can do it and hit all of those safety precautions. And, you know, big thanks to our partners in Lewis and Clark Public Health that have been able to really work with us throughout this crisis and advise us on anything from, you know, how do we clean out a locker to how do we structure a graduation. They've been an invaluable partner throughout.
Helena Public School Superintendent Tyler Rima is our guest this morning on Coffee Break. We've got about 5 minutes left with him and a couple things I want to touch on. One, distinguished teachers and students recognized yesterday, really neat. Obviously, like everything else, not the same as what it normally is, but it's still pretty special.
That was awesome. Yeah. Continued thanks to the Hell Education Foundation and all that they do for our students, families, educators. That's not obviously what they had planned. They, you know, typically are able to offer an amazing event that we do every spring where we honor the students and their selected educators in front of a couple hundred. But it still brought a lot of smiles to faces. I was fortunate to be involved in, 8 deliveries yesterday. And, you know, it was still special. And it was special to be able to surprise students or even surprise teachers in front of their families. And just to say thank you for all that they have accomplished and all they continue to accomplish was a really special thing. So kudos to the Helena Education Foundation for, again, being able to pivot on the fly and really make a great celebration, just very different than what we were accustomed to.
Yeah, and you mentioned it sort of in passing here a couple minutes ago, but one thing people have been wondering about just logistically, how they get their kids' stuff back, right? Have we got lockers stuffed? It sounds like that process is underway.
That process is underway. Yeah, we've been working all along to try to connect students with, you know, hey, I need my trumpet, or hey, I need my medication or my inhaler, something like that, right? But now we have this other step of, okay, we've got everything that was in a locker as of Friday, March 13th. It's still in a locker, good, bad, or otherwise, right? So we're in the process, each school is, of, you know, devising that plan. We've got clear protocols, again, that were developed through our nurses who have been amazing throughout this entire crisis. Our own healthcare professionals, we're very fortunate to have them, and they've been part of every process that's been developed. And they really work to say, well, here's clear protocols for how to do this in a safe manner, so that it's safe for the people who are cleaning out the lockers, and safe for the folks that are receiving it. And then the other piece is obviously getting, you know, materials back to schools, which is something that we'll need to do between now and kind of year end as well. So that's a process that's ongoing and will probably continue again for the next 3 weeks or so.
We've got about, Tyler, 2.5-3 minutes left. I left you a ton of time to talk about this, I know, but I think people start looking forward. What does the fall look like? I know that's a question without an answer at this point, or at least not a definite answer, but you have to be at least looking forward to that.
Yeah, so I'll give, you know, the primary answer and then kind of the asterisk behind it. You know, our goal all along is to open schools. I mean, I think that's every school district. I mean, that's innate to what we do, is we want to be back in school. We want to open school on time, ready to go in the fall. Again, it'll be in concert with a lot of safety protocols. And as we made that decision back in April, early May, around what does the rest of the year look like, we clearly weren't able to hit all of the precautionary guidelines that need to be in place. Quite honestly, it was going to take months in order to be able to plan that. And that's what we're planning towards. That said, we're also planning for other scenarios as well. How do we continue to serve students that have pre-existing health conditions, that it's simply they can't be in school, or families don't feel it safe for their children to be in school. You know, how do we utilize to the fullest extent, the talents of any staff member that might have a pre-existing condition. And so those are kind of all of this kind of asterisk type situations that we're working to. Again, we have a plan A, which is open school, but we also have, plan A1 is to be able to offer this, and plan A2 is to be able to offer this, because we have a wide spectrum of needs that we're going to have to address. And so prior to school being out, we want to be able to get some initial plans out so that families can understand what we're working towards and what to expect, and that they can communicate any needs to us and give us that, the 2.5 months to be able to plan for it. So expect that communication here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, your summer is never exactly wide open, but this summer it's going to be even more crazy and hectic and full of work, I expect.
Yeah, really the last few summers, even with the bond work, there has been no summer, and there won't be a summer this year for us as well. But that's okay. We've got really important things to do, just like we did last summer. Maybe even more important in terms of getting our schools open and ready for our students. And so that's our primary work. And yes, we need about 6 months to be able to do that, but we'll get it done in 2.5 months. We'll get there.
You know, as far ahead as we have been on the curve on this thing, I have no doubts. I mean, you and the Helena School District really jumped on this thing immediately. There were other districts across the state when that first order came down that were just closed for 2 weeks. And in Helena, you took a couple of days, you got a plan, and you said, nope, now we're ready to go. And it's very impressive. It's been neat to see, and I appreciate your leadership and all that.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I will pass it along. But again, I think the credit really goes to our educators, our entire team of support personnel, our parents, our students, and just the community for pulling together and really working in concert to make this happen. So I think we've been able to do our best to transcend what has been a very difficult circumstance, and we've done it well together. So my thanks to everybody.
Helena Public School Superintendent Tyler Ream, our guest this morning. He's the first and last superintendent to deal with a pandemic, and I think he's doing all right. Tyler, thanks for taking time.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity.
That's all the time we got. We'll see you back here tomorrow. I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.